Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
We are in the news today that the Green Party TD Nessa Horgan has admitted that she's taken cocaine twice and has also taken ecstasy, saying it is ridiculous lying if some of her fellow politicians haven't done something similar. In the new hot press out on Thursday, the TD opens up about her rebellious past as a student. And this is reminiscent of when Leo, I suppose, revealed in 2010, also in the hot press interview, that he smoked cannabis. He said, "I did a bit my college years, but I wouldn't be advocating that anybody else do the same, particularly being more aware now of the evidence linking cannabis to smoking and schizophrenia." This got us kind of talking about in the office about what politicians get up to in their private lives and is it any of our business. I mean, these two are speaking frankly about breaking the law. Well, that's really what it is, breaking the law, isn't it? Because that's the law in this country. Should they be fined? In retrospect, probably not. The US presidential candidate Donald Trump has said he will look into Prince Harry's admission of drug taking, which could potentially affect his visa to stay in the United States. And we all remember, of course, Nigella Lawson was stopped from flying to the US to the US 4 months after she had confessed to taking cocaine. The TV cook was barred from boarding a flight in Heathrow to Los Angeles, and this was following a court case relating to other matters where she admitted taking a Class A drug. Now, while Lawson has not been convicted for any drug offences, it appears that UFS officials decided to deny her entrance to the country. Because here's the thing, with Prince Harry, for example, he had to fill in a visa waiver form. And are you familiar with a visa waiver form? The visa waiver form basically waivers you from having a, you know, wanting to get a visa to get into the United States as a tourist, a visitor visa. And on that form, it'll ask you, have you ever taken any illegal drugs? Now, if you answer yes, there's a strong chance you're not going to get into the United States. But if you answer no and you have, well, then you're lying. You're definitely not getting into the United States. You're trying to deceive the authorities. I wish we had immigration so strong. Anyway, so the US Department of Homeland Security told the Mail that foreigners who admitted drug taking were deemed inadmissible. And Lawson, however, was able to travel to the States later that same year. Obviously, she had to go to the embassy and make an appeal. Now, the question here, I suppose, is it any of our business what well-known people do in their spare time? And I'm, suppose, mainly speaking about politicians. Let's focus on politicians because that's what we've been talking about for the last 2 days. I mean, do you care if they break the law a little? You know what I mean? If they get caught speeding or drink driving, even worse, or taking drugs. Is it wise, say, for Leo Varadkar and Nessa Horgan to tell us that they, at one point, broke the law and took drugs? I mean, what do you think? And I don't want to focus the story on any of those particular individual cases. I'm just telling you those cases. You know, I don't want to demonize anybody. But what I'm saying is, does it matter in the big scheme of things? Like, if you know that a politician, you know, is taking cocaine at the weekend when he's with his pals, does that mean he can't be a politician anymore? If you find that out, does that deem him a risk to society in some way? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Does it matter what a politician does in his own spare time? As long as it doesn't affect his job, does it matter? The number is 087-188-0008. Kathy, hi, how are you? Oh, I do apologise, Kathy. I forgot to do something at the start of the show there because I'm a very, very bow boy. I do apologise, Jane. You're going to have to fix that for me and I'm going to have to waffle now for 60 seconds. There you go. Sorry, Jane, we'll put that right. So we've heard of many cases. Well, I suppose I'm not going down the road of talking about, say, airline pilots and truck drivers and stuff like that, because that's very obvious. You can't be taking cocaine in your spare time if you're an airline pilot, because it could be still in your system and you're responsible for the lives of many people. But you could essentially say that a politician is responsible for the lives of many people because they're making decisions that affect our lives on a daily basis. You could, I'm not going to say that a television presenter is responsible for our lives, but we've seen in the past television presenters, you know, come a cropper. I mean, the likes of, say, Ant and Dec. I'm not too sure which one is which. I can never tell, but isn't it Dec, wasn't it? Was obviously caught drink driving at one stage. Didn't destroy his career, but almost did, because he obviously had a problem. He had an alcohol problem, and he also had I think he was taking prescription medications, stuff like that as well. But the question, quite simply, Jane is purposely now stalling to, she's trying to get me back. She's trying to get me back for what I did. There's a button that I have to press at the start of the show and I didn't press it. It's like a routine that we have to do, but I forgot to press it. So this means she has to reset something. And now she doesn't nominate about 20 seconds, but she's purposely punishing me now for not doing it in time. Let me go to Kathy. Kathy, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm good, Kathy. Nice to talk to you.
Can I just say something to you before we start talking?
Oh, is it going to be nice or is it going to be bad?
Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, okay.
Okay, on Tuesday I was up in the hospital for a long, long time. When I got home, I was really annoyed and fed up and missing my husband and thinking, oh, if he'd been there, he would have helped me with this, that and the other.
Yeah.
That's okay. I listened into your programme that night in the after show and it was me 2 years ago talking to you about him.
Oh, no. Should I say I'm sorry or should I be delighted?
Oh, no, it was lovely.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm glad. So it was a repeat at the end of the night when I was away last week on holidays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
So it actually cheered me up because you were so good. You were asking, you know, the way we were opposites. He was a Catholic.
Oh,
I
know the one. That's right. Yes. I know the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, because it cheered me up an awful lot and I went to bed happy.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me about who you voted for and what you voted for and he voted the opposite way.
Peter
and,
Casey. Yeah.
And I remember saying to you, I know Peter quite well, I'll tell him that when I see him, because you had a picture of him on the fridge. I remember you saying.
That cheered me up so much. That was meant to happen. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm glad to put a smile on your face. That's what it's all about.
It did. Definitely.
Well, okay, Kathy, getting back to this. Does it matter if a politician... Now, I don't want you to start naming politicians, right? But let's, in general, just say, if a politician is, you know, snorting cocaine at the weekend or popping ecstasy or smoking weed or whatever it is, does it matter?
Yeah, I think it does, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're in the Dáil, say, on Monday, and they're deciding how much will we give actors that are putting in for grants and how much will we give this, that and the other. Why have cokeheads got the right to be telling ordinary, hardworking people how much money they can get?
Yeah, well, when you say cokeheads, there's a difference in somebody who may do it socially every now and again and somebody who's doing it on a daily basis, I suppose.
Still
I don't
doing
know.
It, Niall. You can't have a Dublin bus driver doing it.
Have you ever done cocaine?
Yeah.
Oh, have
no,
you?
No, Jesus, no, no.
No, I've never done it.
But
I was always the one who was afraid. When I was working in the nightclub industry, my mates were kind of doing cocaine and ecstasy, and I never did. I was offered it loads of times, but I was always afraid I'd be the one to die. So I never did.
There's a guy I know, he used to be a very famous musician, and I was talking to him for a good while, and he said he's actually hooked now on heroin. And I'm not saying who he was, but I said, and what about all the other guys in the band? And he went, he said, we'd go into a certain club and we'd all be out of it. But sadly, a few months later, he was the one that still had to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's horrible. It's really awful. Addictive and everything.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, if a say you're a bus driver, he on Sunday is taking cocaine, and they found that out, they'd sack him immediately.
Yeah, well, they do. I don't know whether bus drivers have random drug tests, but I know pilots do, for example, because you're responsible for people's lives.
Yeah.
Train
so
drivers.
No, I don't think they should be taking it. No, definitely not. And also, there was a prime minister in England. I'm not saying who he was, but he was well-known, a married man, for going into toilets and getting off with young kids.
Younger men.
Yes, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Should he have been prime minister, for God's sake?
I mean, like, what people do in their spare time, as long as it's not illegal, although drug-taking is illegal, you know, for some people they believe it shouldn't be illegal, but it is illegal, that's the bottom line. I mean, you would think it affects the decisions they make, and you think it affects their status in society if they're smoking weed at the weekend or taking coke?
Yeah, I wouldn't have any respect for them.
Would you not?
They've obviously no respect for themselves. If they can't live a day-to-day life without being coked out of it, then they shouldn't be in politics.
If you found out tomorrow if there was a headline in the paper, Niall Boylan, cokehead, you know what I mean? I can tell you now I don't take cocaine, and I've never taken cocaine. But if you found out tomorrow that I was, you know, doing cocaine when I'm not on the air, would it affect it? Would you think to yourself, you know, I'm not going to listen to him anymore? Hey, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, because I've been listening to you for so long that I know that would never happen. So, no.
Mm. Yeah, I see. I think even for a broadcaster, I remember Jerry Ryan, of course, famously was known. Well, it came out later, of course, after he died, that, you know, part of the reason that the toxicology reports showed that he had cocaine in the system. And also, he was well known within circles for taking quite a lot of cocaine. And to me at the time, it was a little bit hypocritical because he was going on the air giving out about, you know, people who supplied Katie French, for example, with drugs who had died.
Yeah.
And yet, in the meantime, he was probably doing it on his way over to the studio off the steering wheel of the car. You know what I mean? So it's a bit hypocritical.
But that guy, the fellow that works with you, Gareth O'Callaghan, he knows all about the drugs.
That's right. He spoke about that in the newspapers at the time.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it didn't do him any good, unfortunately, did it?
No. Gareth got a really hard time over that, which was really wrong. Yeah, because he was speaking the truth. Because the thing about it is, when people know something, they should really either try and help the person or say something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to politicians in general. No, you think it affects their credibility as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, definitely. Why should me, who's not going out and taking drugs, not going out and doing ridiculous things, or why should I listen to the likes of them telling me what to do? No way.
When they're probably strung out the night before.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay, well, stay there for a second. Valerie, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, how's things?
Good. Valerie, does it matter, you know, when you've got politicians admitting that they took drugs? Now, whether they still do or not is open to question because we don't know that. But they admit that they take drugs. Does it matter?
Not particularly. Not to me. Mm. I suppose the fact that, and I hear what your other listener is saying there, you know, that it would probably affect their credibility and we think that they'd, like, be less capable because of their drug taking or whatever.
Yeah.
What with politicians in particular, it's very hard to believe what they're going to tell you anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they were doing it and they said, yeah, I did and I do, I'd say, do you know what, fair play to you, man, at least you're honest.
Yeah.
But I don't think that honesty really comes into it. There's no accountability. That would be my issue. Let them do what they want. Like, I mean, drinking is legal.
Yeah, it's a drug, essentially.
Yeah, and it's actually one of the most damaging drugs. Mm-hmm. Out there.
Oh, it is. It can be a lot more damaging than some of the drugs out there. Yes, I'm absolutely sure of that.
Yeah, and that's legal. Mm-hmm. But I suppose the issue is the legality of it. And, you know, politicians in particular are responsible for making laws on whether things are legal or otherwise. So, I suppose from that point of view, it would be, that's not probably the right thing to be doing. Yeah, but at the same time, if they're sound and they're doing a good job and, like, price of diesel goes down and electricity goes down.
If they're making positive decisions, in other words.
Yeah.
That'd be good if they come into the Dáil strung out of their heads and they say, all right, I'll tell you what. Hey, man, let's put down the price of everything by 50% tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, but they don't do that,
No, they don't.
No.
What's the story with this taxes thing? Let's get rid of it. Yeah. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Look at the
hospital built as well, you know, the really expensive one.
Look at the maddest politician in the world, Donald Trump, right? He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, and he's never taken drugs.
Yeah. Fair play to him.
Mm. I mean, I've
great time for Donald, like.
Yeah.
So have I. So have I.
Oh,
I prefer him to Biden any day of the week.
Yeah. 100%. Or Kennedy or Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I prefer him to Biden, definitely.
Well, maybe he'll be the next president of the United States. You never know, ladies. But getting back to Irish politicians, you think as long as it doesn't affect the decision making, or, you know, are they doing a good job, Valerie, as far as you're concerned, go for it. It's your private time. Do what you want.
Absolutely. But then at the same time, I suppose, you know, let's say it's a judge, for example. And I mean, they're politicians too, let's be honest. It's all the same, isn't it, really? It's all the establishment.
Yeah.
So judge, we'll say Judy for the crack.
I love Judge Judy.
I do too. I never can get enough of her.
I was saying, there's a channel, I'm not too sure which one it is, but it's like 24-hour Judge Judy, and I've sat there and binge-watched like 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
On a Saturday afternoon, duvet over you, 10 episodes of Judge Judy and a packet of popcorn.
These days.
Yep.
But, you know, like, for example, one of our Supreme Court justices, or whatever, I won't say any names, of course, but, you know, they're out on the night and they're having a great time doing a few lines of coke, you know, and then they sit on the bench. And then there's Joe Soap comes in, that was in possession of cocaine, and they sentence or whatever they do. I mean, that's unfair.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to understand then, isn't it? But let me give you an example. Many, many years ago, I was working in a nightclub. I was a DJ in a nightclub. And in walks one of my children's school teachers.
Okay.
She was only young. She was in her 20s. And her and her mate, you know, she waved at me, said hello to me. And her and her mate went into the Jacks, came out, which was just behind the DJ box. The toilet was just behind the DJ box. And they came out and she came over and said hello to me. And I could see all the powder all over her nose.
Oh my God.
So the two of them obviously went in, have a quick snort in the Jacks. Now,
okay, fair.
I was a little bit uneasy about it, I'm going to be honest with you. But should that bother me?
Yeah, it should do.
You know, it. Okay, go on, Cathy, go.
I think it should do because the fact that that woman is in charge of his children in the school, I wouldn't trust her, no. It would bother me, no, definitely.
You, then, you know, like you were saying, Niall, you're DJing in a nightclub and the teacher comes in and she's doing shots of Zambuca or whatever, whiskey. Mm. Is that as irresponsible?
Yeah, see, there you go. You're right. See, you're right. And I understand, Cathy. Yeah, I understand, Cathy, what Valerie is saying. What really is the difference? I don't know. The hit.
She's in charge of 20-odd kids in the class. And if she's still coming down from the night before, she shouldn't have that job. Definitely not.
Yeah. Particularly with alcohol, because, I mean, I don't know if you drink, Cathy,
alcohol,
but hangovers
are a rotten
feeling. Do you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure I wouldn't like to be a teenager coming into, you know, baby infants with a hangover on a Monday morning. That wouldn't be a good thing. But
ever.
But I'm sure teachers do come in with hangovers now and again.
Yeah, with alcohol, and is that acceptable because it's legal?
Mm.
Or is it not?
But Ireland, we have the worst record in this country, not surprising by the way, for Monday morning blues, which is people not turning up for work on a Monday morning. And we know why. Mm. Because we're heavy drinkers. We drink too much.
Can you imagine if it was cocaine or heroin, though? Oh, my God, such bad people.
Yeah.
You know,
so getting back to my school teacher, should I have complained to the principal or something like that?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay. In my opinion, 100% no.
Cathy, if that was you, would you complain to the school principal?
No, I would have said it to the teacher, though.
I saw you.
I would have said something like, you want to do that. But, you know, you're supposed to be responsible for 20, 30 kids in a class, so take it easy sort of thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have told the principal, though.
Okay.
No, no way. No, I mean, we're grown-ups, like, there's no point in running to the teacher, oh, my God, did you see what she was doing last night?
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair, like. We have to be kind of fair, don't we?
Have you ever taken drugs, Valerie?
Never, Niall, no.
No. It's not a good thing. It's not a good
thing.
No,
it's very bad for you. It's bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's no... People say, oh, but it's only this, or oh, it's only that, or... There's no such thing as a good drug. You know what I mean?
No, there's not.
Well, no, unless it's medication, obviously, or prescribed drugs.
Well, now, there's an interesting point, isn't it, as well? Speaking of legal drugs and illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. And I know people who are off their head on prescription drugs. You know
100%.
What I mean?
I work in the area, so I know. Yeah.
And there is a whole conversation about people who drive cars on prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we give out about people drink driving or drug driving, but are people just equally as bad who are taking prescription drugs and driving cars or in charge of children?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That is such a good point. But, and who's making the money in this country? It's the pharmaceutical company.
Massive amount of money. We overprescribe. We do overprescribe drugs.
Oh, God, yeah.
Cathy, there are very few people in this world are capable of running a country. It's not easy to run a country.
He wasn't capable, though, was he?
No, he clearly wasn't.
He wasn't.
No, clearly not. Clearly not.
Look at the bloody state of the place, for God's sake.
Cathy,
you're all running around naked, screaming, Cathy.
Clearly he wasn't capable. I'm not disagreeing with you, Cathy. But hey, Simon Harris, out of the frying pan, into the fire. Is he the one who used to make what?
Tea for them when he started out.
Who, Simon Harris made tea for them? He was a tea boy. I don't know. Did he make tea for them? You could be thinking of Rick Astley there. I'm not too sure, but
Simon, no, honestly.
I'm joking. Maybe he did, but I know he didn't finish college. He dropped out of college.
Yeah.
But that's not a big deal, by the way. There are a lot of successful people in this country or in this world who didn't go to college.
And that's another thing that's overrated as well.
College, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, and I know he did say that COVID-19 was COVID-19 because it was 18 strains before it. I know he did say.
I swear to God, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's him. And there was also a vote of no confidence in him, which is a bit embarrassing that they're now going to make him the Taoiseach. And there was a vote of no confidence in him as Minister for Health. But, hey. But stay there for a second. Hang on, both of you. Let me go to David. David, hi. How are you?
Hi, Noel. How are you going?
Good. Is everybody running around naked screaming? Ah! It is a funny thought. Although it's a thought. To some of the politicians that I can imagine, you know, running around the town naked screaming. That's the kind of thought I need.
Stop.
Yeah, I need counselling to get that image out of my head. Sorry, David. Go ahead.
That's right. No, I think you probably covered everything I was going to say. My personal views, certainly the press, they only raise these peccadilloes, a bit of hash or whatever they're getting up to, when it's too late and they're already in office. What they should be doing is before they get elected, and doing it and finding out all this stuff they've been up to. But there we go.
Should there be random drug tests in Leinster House?
I certainly think there should be random drug tests. What would concern me about your teacher story, Niall, would be at the age of 20 or 23 or whatever she was, how the hell was she affording to do a coke habit?
On teacher's wages, I don't know. I don't know how much coke costs.
Is she selling? And is she selling around the school?
That's an interesting point. Yeah, but I hope not. No, I'd say it was just social with her buddy.
Well, so what? She's still funding. I don't know how much coke. I've never bought coke, so I haven't got no idea how much it costs. But so I imagine that I wouldn't even know where to go and source it. But I
was told by one guy on the air one night, Facebook, I believe.
Right.
There's dealers, I believe, that deal on Facebook under pseudonames, and you order it and they'll come to your door with it. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Anyway, the funding of it is a huge problem. But that's beside the point.
People have said to me it's easier to get cocaine in Dublin than it is to get a pint of beer. Now, I don't know how true that is because nobody has ever offered me cocaine. Recently, certainly. When I was in the nightclub industry, I did many times. But I certainly wouldn't take it anyway. But nobody's ever offered it to me. So I don't know. This idea that it's kind of on every street corner. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Because, well, I grew up in a town called Brighton in the UK.
Yeah, I know.
That was, back in the 70s, it was a drug centre of Europe. But it was, and my mother, she sat on the bench in the local area. Funnily enough, her she was called Judy. It wasn't her name, but she was your genuine Judge Judy. And I remember one lad was coming. Or I heard the story about one lad who came back up in front of her for non-payment of fine, and his reasoning for not paying his fine was that he was getting married and had to pay for the honeymoon. And I wished I'd had 10 seconds with him before he went in. Because I knew my mother slightly better than he did, and I knew exactly what was going to happen.
So your mother was actually a judge, Judy?
Well, she was a magistrate, yeah. Effectively a judge, yeah.
I'd say it's an interesting job, by the way. I'd love to be a judge for the day. It'd be an interesting job.
She found it absolutely amazing.
It is a good crack to watch.
She started off, she was a very black and white person when she first started. But she soon learned the shades of grey.
Yeah.
She was widowed at 37 with three small children, 8, 10 and 11. And she sort of did the job on the bench and brought us up and in a fairly rough town, Brighton was back then. Frequently we had the local drug police in the house getting warrants signed by her.
But the thing about it being a judge, particularly in a district court or a magistrate, a district court here in Ireland, but would be that it's very hard to have empathy for genuine people because you're so sick of looking at Scobies coming before you. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, John the car thief and Mikko the drug dealer and Paddy the pickpocket all come in one after the other and you've seen them 10 times before in the court in the last 2 years and you're going, oh, 3 months probation or a suspended sentence, 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, along comes a genuine person, nice person who's coming in for family law or something ridiculous. And, you know, how do you have sympathy? Because you've just dealt with three scumbags. You're kind of sick of it at that stage.
Well, you know, you've got, unfortunately in Ireland, you've got complete racist bigots like, what was his name?
No, don't mention names. Don't mention names.
Oh, anyway. But, no, there's a superb judge, fantastic guy, Sean O'Donoghue. He's really clued in and switched on.
Yeah.
He sorts things out properly. But some of the other judges around in Cork, especially the district court, are...
Okay, don't cast aspersions on them because we get into a lot of trouble if you do that, if you start doing that. Because, of course, the judges operate separate to the state. But in saying that, yeah, there are judges who are well known to be unfair. And there are judges who are known to be a little bit fairer. And it's deciding when you're a judge which person deserves your fairness. Do you know what I mean? That's the hard part.
I can tell you, I was in court, family court, up in front of one of the judges, and he had his tax disc out of date.
Mm.
And just before the family court opened up, he was fining people $2,000 for non-payment of tax and not having car.
Yeah, that's hypocritical. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But you know, that was him all over. That was totally. But he was appointed because he was to because he wouldn't let the bureaucrats alone until he was appointed.
Well, listen, I have to go into a break. I'm going a bit over time. David and Valerie and Cathy, listen, thank you very much indeed. Keep sending your texts and WhatsApps in, by the way. Is there anything wrong with a politician taking drugs? You know, cocaine, weed, whatever, in their spare time at the weekends. Do you see anything wrong with that? Anyway, let me go to Danielle. Danielle, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How's it going?
I'm good, Danielle. Well, I'm not good. I'm actually a little bit, you know, confused at the moment with this country politically, but that's a whole other argument that we spent nearly an hour talking about.
Do you want to join the big, huge queue?
Yeah. I think my description tonight is the best description of all. I think Valerie agreed. It's like, politically, it's like naked people running around the street screaming, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's
It's like the apocalypse or something.
Yeah.
They think the whole country's just going to drop because Leo's gone bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe it could be worse. I don't know. I can't really imagine it being much worse. But then again, you know, I did see some other politicians saying, put us in power. And I'm going, oh, no, not at all.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No, Harris is bad enough, like.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he'll surprise us all. Maybe he'll be wonderful. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think we're watching. It's like watching slowly somebody putting a knife into somebody. I don't mean this in a grotesque manner, but we're watching the death of Fine Gael slowly but surely by 1,000 cuts. You know what I mean?
Totally agreed.
Yeah. And I think by the time we get to the next election, I think there'll be too much damage done. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Danielle, getting back to, would you trust a politician or indeed anybody, a professional, if you knew in their spare time they were taking drugs?
No, because what happens if they're going high off their head into the doll? Mm. Makes more stupid decisions.
Yeah. But I mean, people go high off their head. When I say high, well, if they go high off their head, well, of course, absolutely they shouldn't be a politician. They shouldn't be in any profession. But if they're doing it, say, on a Saturday night with their buddies, you know, and they're not back in the doll again until Monday morning.
Well, they also have their reputations to keep up.
Yeah. With,
inverted commas.
Yeah. Do they have reputations? I'm not too sure they do anymore. But okay, but
they don't.
But they are public representatives, yes.
Exactly. Mm. So do they have to uphold this kind of, I don't know,
a standard better than the rest of us?
If that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
But I suppose if they're not caught, they're sneaky that way.
Yeah.
Do you know? But it's unprofessional in my view because I don't like drugs or drink or anything.
Okay.
I could be a bit biased.
Have you ever taken drugs in your life?
When I was a teenager, but I didn't. I did it once and that was it.
What did you do? Smoked a joint or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think probably everybody at some point has done that in their life.
I think I tried it and I was like, yuck, no way.
Yeah, well, look, I think at some point many people have, but if you have the sense then to know that you shouldn't continue doing it, well, then that's fine, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But like, I heard of certain stories today that were people were caught out doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ecstasy and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know? So I think they should do it and not make it public if they're not caught.
Yeah.
If they want to, but they have to hold that professional side to them as well.
Yeah. Do you believe there should be random drug tests in the Dáil?
Absolutely. Because aren't they known for doing that in the toilets and all?
Well, wasn't
the Dáil,
there?
Yeah, I think.
They tested money or something. Or are they swab tested? I mean, was it UCD or some other places there going back many years ago and they found traces of cocaine in many places? Yeah?
Oh, I believe it, yeah. So I would, you know. Because we don't know what they're doing inside that Dáil. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, they're not doing much at the minute, but however.
Yeah, well.
Do you know?
Yeah, not doing a lot at all. Okay, so you would have less trust in people if you knew in their spare time they were taking illegal drugs.
As long as they're not doing it when they're working, I suppose, put it that way.
Okay, well hang on. Yeah, let me go to Breida. Breida, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Breida, does it matter if somebody in their own private time, spare time, is, you know, doing a line of cocaine every now and again with their buddies?
Not as long as it's not interfering with their work and their, you know, what their responsibilities are. As long as they're not doing it when they're working. What you do behind closed doors, I think, is entirely your own business. But you have to, like, if you're sniffing cocaine and you're getting a random drug test done, cocaine doesn't go out of your system that quickly. And they can also find it in your hair, in the growth of your hair. So, you know, it's something you'd want to be very careful about if that's the road you're going
down.
Yeah,
it stays in your hair. I don't know what the story is with the hair business, by the way, but it stays in your hair for months, doesn't it, I believe?
Yeah. Seemingly, it's very easy to trace it, you know, that they can, you can say, oh, I don't do it, but they can do a sample, they can find out fairly quick if you can. You know, like, I'm not into drugs. I've no interest in them. I never had, I never will, you know.
I think it's different, isn't it? I mean, you're responsible for the, you know, as, you know, cabin crew, you're responsible for the lives of many people.
Absolutely.
Do you guys have random drug tests? I know pilots do. The random drug and drink tests. Do they do that to cabin crew as well?
Oh, if they had a suspicion that you were under the influence, absolutely, they have the right to do a full alcohol and drug test on you. To bring in an outside company, you get to choose which test you want to be tested with. So you can't say it's been tampered with or anything like that. Oh God, yeah. And in Amsterdam, you have to be 12 hours free of drink before you go on a flight. And they have often come on the early Amsterdam, the 603 back to Dublin and tested all the crew on board the aircraft.
Wow.
To ensure that you're following the rules. And it's 8 hours in the rest of Europe.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. Look, that's completely understandable in that line of work, or if you're a truck driver or whatever it is. But if you're not, if you work at a shop, or if you know, or you're just working. I gave an example earlier on. I don't know if Danielle heard that as well. A school teacher.
A teacher.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But like a school teacher, like cocaine, I believe it makes you like wired to the moon and, you know, your everything is like fabulous and wonderful. What happens when you come down off that high and you're in the middle of teaching, you know, young kids, whatever it is you're teaching them? I mean, do you suddenly become, you know, an antichrist in the classroom and whatever.
I worked with somebody years ago who was on cocaine, and it's not nice to work with individuals who are on cocaine, let me tell you.
They're quite aggressive. I don't think I've ever met anyone that has taken it. Now, maybe I did, and I just
You just wouldn't know. Yeah, you wouldn't know, probably.
Yeah. But, like, I think everyone has a responsibility, you know, to do things sensibly. But, of course, that doesn't happen anymore, does it, Niall?
No. But Danielle, sorry, back to the school teacher, Danielle. Do you think the school teacher should lose a job?
She shouldn't lose things at all, but she just has to be responsible. She shouldn't be doing it because she's responsible for the kids.
But they'd say, I am responsible for the kids. I'm only doing it on a Saturday night. I don't see the kids till Monday morning.
I know. It also depends what kind of effect it would have on the person as well, I think. What happens if it takes a few days to, I don't know, for them to come down, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it takes a few days. But I don't know much about it, but I don't think it takes a few days. But in saying that, I do agree with Breeda as well. I think there's a level of affecting your credibility, Breeda, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, does it not make you paranoid as time goes on and stuff?
I know cannabis does makes you paranoid. I'm not too sure about cocaine.
I think as the more they take of it, because they're not getting enough. Again, I've never taken a drug in my life, but my understanding is that it's like anything. When you're taking something regularly, you're not getting the same hit out of it that you might have been. So they increase what they're taking. That's how they end up with their nose is burnt away and everything else. Oh, but yeah. I think it does make them paranoid. Now, it could be wrong. But nobody wants anybody paranoid.
Okay, well, hang on. Just let me bring Jessica in the conversation as well. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hiya.
How you doing? Jessica, is there anything wrong with somebody, you know, in their spare time, their own private time, you know, if you're a politician or whatever it happens to be, you know, doing, you know, a couple of lines of cocaine or whatever it is. Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, the way I see it is, if you're in what I call important jobs, like a politician, a judge, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, if you want to do a line of no, don't expect to have your job on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care how mean that sounds, but if I was the principal of that teacher that you mentioned, Monday morning, I'd be like, get out. I don't want a liability here in my school.
Would you? So you believe they should be fired?
I would, yeah. Show where the door is. Like, pack your stuff, pack a box, out you go.
Yeah, have you ever done cocaine yourself?
I have not.
No, I'm only asking, Jessica. Don't be getting all angry with me.
No, I don't mean.
Jessica, do you not think the person should be given a chance to go to rehab and sort themselves out before they lose their job?
Nope. I know I sound cruel in saying that, but I feel like you're a liability. And I know it sounds harsh, but when it comes to people who do drugs, I feel like the minute you take it, that's it. Like, you're a lost cause. And that's for politicians.
Whatever happened to giving someone a second chance? Like, would you not say to the person, listen, this is unacceptable.
I don't believe it.
Don't do it again. Jessica, you have to believe in second chances.
When have I ever said give a second chance? You know I only give people one chance and that's it.
Yeah, but you're talking about somebody's career. You know what I mean?
Well, they decided to blow it the minute they actually decided to do blows. Like, they literally blew it away.
But Jessica,
as a politician, they have the nerve, they have the neck to stand up there acting all high and mighty, telling us how to be moral citizens and all that, and they're off in toilets doing God knows what. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, sorry, Breeda, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say everyone deserves a second chance in life. I mean, I know people that have been on drugs and have come off them and have made a very
Do you think it's fair then that we have judges who probably are out there doing cocaine on the weekends, and then they have the actual nerve, the hypocriticalness, to turn around and say to people, oh, well, you've been dealing drugs, you're this, that, and the other, I'm going to sentence you. They've been in jail themselves for taking it.
Well, because there's nothing ever done about it either. You know, if they are caught, they're rarely prosecuted.
What about a nurse? Would you feel comfortable with a nurse doing your blood pressure or taking blood from you if you found out she was on a full-on bender on Saturday night and then taking your blood on Monday morning? Would you be comfortable with that?
Well, what if she's not taking drugs and she's after being out for drinking and whatever, cavorting for 24 hours? Like, she's going to go back into work with a hangover, but, like, does she deserve to lose her job?
If she's going in with a hangover, yeah, because you clearly don't know your limit. You clearly don't know when to stop. That's your own personal responsibility.
What age are you, can I ask you?
I'll be going 25 this day next week.
Happy birthday.
I think I'm a bit more pop on than anyone
Happy
else.
Happy birthday, Jessica.
I think you're very harsh for somebody so young, I have to say. Very
I'm not
harsh.
Harsh, I'm just very realistic.
Yeah, she doesn't take any messing.
Very realistic.
No. Doesn't take any messing.
No, well, I mean,
listen, I don't take any mess, and I never have.
Like, what would you, but Jessica? What would you do? Sorry for breathing, Jessica. What would you do if your girlfriend said to you, if she was out, say, with her mates or something, and you were having the night in, and she went out with some of her pals, and she came back and said, "Listen, Jessica, really sorry, I did a line of cocaine."
Yeah, what would you do?
I'd be gone. I'd be telling her, "Right, good luck to you. Have a good life."
Yeah.
No, I would. I would.
You throw away the love of your life because she made a mistake.
You know, me and Kieran know our deal breakers. I told her my deal breakers. That is one of them. I'm like, I'm not getting involved with someone who's going to bring a crap ton of baggage onto me. I'm not doing it.
And by the way, Breda, I understand that. You know what I mean? Like, myself and Karen, for example, are not drinkers. Now, don't get me wrong. You might have a glass of wine or a glass of champagne at a wedding or at Christmas. I'd have a glass of Tia Maria. I'm guilty. And the same with Karen, you know, every now and again. But we're not drinkers. I couldn't be married to somebody who drank every night of the week. That would be a deal breaker.
Nor could she,
by the way.
No, and I couldn't either because I'm not a big drinker like you. I like a little, well, probably a little bit more than you, but I do like to go out and have a glass of wine with my friends and stuff. Or we meet up maybe once every whatever and we have a few glasses of bubbles. But like my thing here is I love Coke Zero. Oh my God, that's my little treat at home here with ice and whatever. Oh heaven, I'd rather have that than any alcohol any day of the week.
Mm.
Jessica's also right to stand by her principles.
Drinking 10 cans of Coke Zero isn't going to put anyone in danger. It's not going to put you or anyone else in danger, is it? Doing a line of cocaine on Saturday night could put someone in danger on Monday morning.
People are curious sometimes. And they try something, it doesn't mean they'll ever do it again. Like, I mean, if it was a one-off, would you still break up with the girl?
I would.
Oh, God.
I don't care. But if you love somebody,
like, you can't be so black and white if you love somebody.
You can have all the love in the world, but we all have our lines. That just happens to be one of mine.
Danielle, is it a bit harsh? Is Jessica's kind of line? Don't get me wrong, I don't think it's a bit harsh. If that's the way she feels, and that's a deal breaker for her. But Danielle, do you think it's harsh?
No, I don't think she's been harsh at all because she's dead right to stand by her principles. I would do exactly the same thing.
Mm.
So I would, you know.
Yeah. I think, to be honest with you, Karen wouldn't put up with it if I start snorting cocaine.
Exactly, you shouldn't have to.
I don't do
either.
Drugs, you know what I mean?
The microphone will be on overdrive.
Could you imagine me hearing off me box on cocaine? Alright, I'm going to get the callers on the air. Shut up or I'll kill you all.
You don't need cocaine, Niall.
Sorry, Breda.
Have you given up the figs yet?
I have, yeah.
Now we couldn't be dealing with you on cocaine anyway.
No,
you're good as you are.
Could you imagine me on cocaine? I'm bad enough as it is.
You'll be bouncing off that studio wall.
Oh Lord! Sometimes with the people I have to deal with on a nightly basis, I feel maybe I should be. They drive me to it.
I see where Jessica's coming from as well.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put up with it either. You know.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it is a lot of baggage to take on, and particularly, you know, if you let them away with it once, they might do it again.
Like,
having a drinker or a drug addict in your relationship can be a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
But the reason I wouldn't put up with it, and I know it sounds bad, is just because I grew up in a very rough state growing up for the first 10 years of my life. There was tons of addicts around. They weren't part of my family and we didn't know them personally. We just seen all the crap every day in their house and all the arguments, all the fighting, all the this, that, and the other. And I was like, I don't want that in my life. When you're 10 years old and you automatically know, I don't want that. No,
you're right. And it's the same way as I feel about both drugs and drink, by the way. I couldn't live with somebody who is, you know, pissed out of their head. I don't like drunk people. I'm sorry. I'm not into drunk people. For years, I worked in nightclubs and saw people making fools of themselves, pissed out of their head. That's why I don't. Part of the reason why I don't drink.
Yeah, and it sticks with you, be a drug addict, alcoholic, whatever. Mm. It sticks with you. You're like, why? What do you want to put up with?
I do believe in giving people a second chance. You know, if nobody got a second chance in this life, it'll be a very sad world because a lot of people have turned their lives around and gone on to do great things. So I do think you have to at least one, you get people one second chance and that's it. And if they fuck it up after that, then that's it, done. Bye, good luck.
Mm.
But I do believe in a second chance.
Ladies, just stay there for a second because I want to go to James. James, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Now, James, you do, what do you do?
I've done a lot of it. I've done, you know, smoked weed, hash, cork, speed, ecstasy.
You've done it all?
Diazepam, yeah. Everything okay. Bar gear. Everything bar heroin.
Everything bar. Oh, is heroin gear? When you hear people say gear, that's heroin, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not down with the lingo, you know what I mean? So,
cold.
And do you hold down a job?
Yes.
And so you only do it at the weekends?
Well, I might do, as I said, I wouldn't be mad now doing cocaine. Special occasions, Christmases maybe, birthdays, this and that.
Okay, so on a night out, for
probably
example.
I wouldn't be doing it every weekend, like.
Okay, on a night, on a big night out.
I would smoke weed now, all right, a good bit of weed.
Yeah, Easter's coming up now. You could have a special Easter egg made out of it or something like that. I don't know. Jessica, there you go. He holds down a job and he does ecstasy, cocaine, weed, a little bit of everything. Not the heroin, not the gear, you know?
Right. Well, can I ask without being rude and asking, James? You don't tell exactly, but what is it you do?
You don't tell us where you work, but what do you do for a living?
I'm in the construction industry.
Ooh.
Jeez,
you know,
I hope you're not driving anything.
I wouldn't trust you with heavy machinery or building a house if this is your idea of a day off. And I know, I'm sorry if that sounds rude, but I feel like that's a bit of a liability.
To be honest, though, right? I just like to say that it's in every walk of life at the moment. Every profession that's involved.
No, that doesn't mean it's all right, James. We know it's
But I'm just telling you, that's the facts of life. There are butchers, nurses, solicitors, judges are doing it. Everyone is at it.
Not everyone.
As I said, there's not too many that... As I said, how many people die?
Yeah, but I'm not at it, James. You know what I mean? I don't take drugs.
No, I'm not at it.
Well, fair enough. But as I said, now you're like the majority of people in...
Well, I do know a lot of people in media are taking drugs and do take drugs. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
As I said, it's in every profession. As you just said it there, it's in the media and everything.
Mm.
I said, has anyone got killed in the media or any of this and that?
Yeah, Jerry Ryan.
Yeah, died of a cocaine overdose.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You know.
They're not dropping like flies. Like,
you know what I mean? No, they're not dropping like flies. I'm aware of that. But still, when you have a responsibility, James, and, you know, construction is a fair responsibility. I don't know what you're building, offices or people's houses or whatever it happens to be. You know, I mean, there is a responsibility.
If there's a major accident, then you're at the crux of it. If you say, I don't know, drop the scoop head on someone, what happens then? You're going to be, you know, the perpetrator. Because you were the one
and they will test you. They will test you for drugs. They will do an intoxication test on you to see have you any drink or drugs in your system. If you have drugs in your system, even if it's from a week ago, you're snookered. That's it. You'll be charged with manslaughter.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, construction is a dangerous industry at the best of times, James.
Yeah.
Like
people have fallen off roofs and been killed for no reason, only that they probably didn't look properly or they weren't concentrating. Can you put that then with drugs on top of that? What had happened?
But they could be drunk as well coming into sites, like.
Well, they could be. Yeah, they could have hangover.
I've often seen fellas on a Saturday and they came in the Friday after coming in on a heavy Friday night and they were still half fit.
Drugs or drink, it's no excuse.
And you'd have to kind of warn them, go, look, you have to cop on. You can't be coming in hungover like that. You're actually not even hungover, you're still fucking pissed.
Imagine a crane driver coming in pissed, like, or with drugs at him.
From smack or coke, like, there's no difference.
But no, in the crane driving industry, though, you are drug tested regularly.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, you are. It's like being a pilot.
As I said, carpenters aren't getting tested every day of the week, no, Joe Brock's. Block layers, this and that. And so you said there's plenty of people out there and they're working alcoholics.
I know there are functioning alcoholics out there who work away. Well, okay, well, let me ask you a question. If you found out that a politician, you know, I don't know, you know, a Fine Gael politician or a Fianna Fáil politician who was in the Dáil, a TD, you know, was on drugs at the weekend, you know, doing coke or doing ecstasy. Would that influence, would that change your feeling on them or your thoughts on them?
No. You know what, maybe we could, no, you know what, maybe we could actually, it would maybe better the relationship.
Right, because you would have a better understanding of them, I suppose, because you do it yourself.
But it's just the nurse taking your blood.
I know, no, I was only messing there, I know. But look.
Lying on the weekend.
Yeah.
Because she could easily miss a vein, she could easily kill you.
A nurse, a doctor. James, I was talking about this earlier on, and, you know, people keep saying to me, oh, it's easier to get cocaine now than it is to get alcohol, right? And... But I don't, I mean, now don't get me wrong, it's not like I'm walking the pubs of Dublin or something like that. But I've never been offered cocaine. Except years ago when I worked in the nightclub industry, I was offered it. But I haven't been offered cocaine. Where do you get it?
Well, you obviously know someone that knows some other fella, like. They're not going around going into bloody pubs going, you know, any cocaine, this and that.
So it's just like somebody you know who's a dealer?
Yeah.
And you what, you just quick phone call, they drop around to your house?
Yeah, or you call up to them for it.
And is it true? Because there was a lad here on the radio tell us a while ago, you can go onto Facebook and there's people on Facebook that are openly sound.
Oh, there is.
I've seen people on Snapchat doing that. I wouldn't buy off them because you don't know who the bloody fuck they are. They're Mr. Weed fucking 526 or some shit.
They could be fucking guards.
It could be undercover. You wouldn't know it.
Yeah. And have you ever been caught, James?
I was caught all right once.
And what happened? Did you go to court?
Yeah.
And what happened? What'd you get?
Basically, I was caught with half a joint. It was valued at €10 worth, right, of cannabis. I asked the guard, he said, you've never just give us a caution, let us go. And no, he was a young fella on a bicycle and he wanted me to rat out this and that person. I thought to him, fuck off, I'm not going calling up to some fella's house looking for £300 or £400 worth. Yeah. Because he'll know there's something up anyway. And then he kick in his fucking door, he goes, something, there'll be retaliation then for that back at me. That people won't talk to me saying I'm fucking rat.
So you wouldn't rat out somebody, so he took you to court for the £10 worth?
Yeah, and I brought €250 worth, €250 into the court. Have the issue settled that day.
What, into the charity box?
Yeah, and basically I was the only person inside over a short and tie and in a suit.
Right.
So there was people inside are dressed in track suits and people laughing in the gallery at this and that charges. It was disgraceful, really.
And so you were there for £10 worth of hash and do you have to pay the £250? Yeah.
Right. I was the last case up that day. Sitting around inside in the corner since fucking 9 o'clock in the fucking morning. Grand anyway, court case came up, and next thing I said, could we settle the issue today with my solicitor? And he said, how much have on you? I goes, I've £250 on me, but I goes, I could get another £50 because I was actually out of work that time.
Yeah.
But I broke my arm. And that was all, explained this and that. And next thing he turned around and went, do you know what? I'll give you another month to come up with another £200, or else
conviction. Yeah, you get a conviction.
It'll be on my record.
Okay, so it was £450 in the end.
Yeah, £400 in the end.
Yeah, okay, or £400.
And I had a month to get the other £100.
What are you saying, Jessica? You would have put him in jail.
No, I'm just asking. Was it worth it?
I thought £200 was fair enough now to be given to the, what you call it, to the
courts.
The poor box.
Yeah.
Because I give £100 to the, what you call it, the car penny dinner there for the homeless people.
Do you realise that if you hadn't gone near the stuff, sorry, you could have saved yourself all this hassle?
Say that again, Jessica. He didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Do you not realise that if you have not touched anything, okay, or if you just touched it once and never went back, do you not realise you could have saved yourself so much hassle and you wouldn't have to be sitting in court at 9 o'clock in the morning?
It wasn't like he murdered someone.
Yeah, sorry, Breeda, what are you trying to say to him?
And saying he wouldn't have been down £450.
400, either. Yeah, 400. Listen, lads, ladies, I have to wrap it up. This is James. Thanks very much indeed. Appreciate your honesty, by the way. Breeda, thank you very much indeed, and Jesse.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.